second stop this Tuesday morning on the Morning Roundup here live from Southwest Kansas in Garden City. 99.9 The Rock, Baylen Height, Derek Decker with you. And with that, we hop in to our morning junior college basketball Region 6 tournament preview. Derek, you've got two teams in the mix. I'm going to let you start us off here with Dodge City. As the Conquistadors had Saturday off, they now face two teams that had to win on Saturday in order to play at Dodge City. The women will be facing off against Independence, and the men will see Cloud. What a season for Dodge City, for both programs, the opportunity to be the number one overall seed in the conference tournament, and they've got to defend that title with a home win tonight on both sides to try to get to Wichita on Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, it starts with the women, with Independence. Dodge City has won 21 games in a row. They only lost one conference game. And we talk about how much of a meat grinder this conference is night in and night out and how you can lose to any team. Well, that, you know, Dodge City defied all of those expectations. The only loss they had was a 21-point blown lead down at Seward on Thanksgiving weekend. And so that's a long time ago. That was the last time the Conks lost, was back in November. They finished off a perfect December, perfect January, and a perfect February, and you just don't see teams do that hardly ever in the top 10 in junior college basketball. But they are taking on an Independence team tonight that did play them tough at least for a half or three quarters in each of the first two matchups. You know, coached by Jim Turgeon, who's former Dodge City guy. In fact, he's the second all-time winningest head coach in Dodge City history, coached here in Dodge in the late 2000s. He's the brother of former Maryland basketball head coach on the men's side, Mark Turgeon. So a lot of coaching tree kind of fun things to look at when you've got this group, but he's a solid coach, and that's the bottom line. He has Division I coaching experience, being at Denver for a few years. So this is a guy that knows how to coach, and that means he's a guy that knows how to win tournament games. In Independence, the last time they came to Dodge, made it a 9-point game. There have not been very many single-digit games for Dodge City in conference play this year, at least in the second half of the slate, which is typically, when you blow through the first half, typically teams make some adjustments and are able to get you the second time around. That's not what happened this year for the Conks. There's too much firepower and too many weapons on the outside. But Independence has one of the toughest defenses in the conference on the women's side. So Dodge City will be limited only 64 points in that last matchup back in February. So will be interesting tonight, to be sure. And then the men's side, it's Dodge City and Cloud County. The T-Birds look like a team. We mentioned them earlier on a couple weeks ago, kind of keyed on this team after they beat Dodge City at home and then ran off a victory against Coffeyville. We said, whoa, we need to take into consideration, yes, this is a 500 team, but this is a legitimate team that can make some noise in the postseason. Obviously, they've already beaten Dodge once, beaten by 10 in February up in Concordia. And then the first matchup back in December, they only lost by two, and they actually had a shot to win it at the buzzer. So Cloud County's kind of had Dodge City's number on the men's side, and that would certainly concern me more as a Conk fan coming into tonight. Interesting matchups coming in the next round as well, semifinal round in Wichita, with the women's game being at 1 o'clock and the men's game being at 3. But a lot on the line tonight. I think there's more on the line for the men than the women, because I think, in my opinion, the men are definitely a bubble team or worse. If they do not win this region, the women's team's locked in pretty much no matter what, so they're playing with house money here. But again, the men have some real work ahead of them, and in my opinion, it, obviously to quell all concern, you got to run off three wins in a row here this week to make sure you make it to Hutch in a couple of weeks.
So I got two questions here for you, Derek. Well, first of all, I want to comment on what you just said. I think that tells you how much on the men's side each team is eating the other alive. When you look at the fact that the number one overall seed, in our eyes, might not be a guarantee for an at-large bid. I think that's impressive, but also concerning for the conference overall, because if you don't get Dodge in as the automatic qualifier, they might not even fire themselves in the at-large. I want to go back to the women's side real quick. First of all, do you believe in the old saying that it's hard to beat a team the third time after you've already beaten them twice? And then the second part of that would be, what is a weakness of Dodge City? I mean, what is a foreseeable way that they truly, because of the way they play, could be vulnerable? I mean, this team is just top to bottom, in my opinion, the most complete team in the women's side, and what they've done has been really impressive.
Yeah, well, we'll start out with your first question about Dodge City. I think when you take the whole thing into consideration, and you look at Dodge City's playoff resume and everything, and the Jayhawk Conference, and, well, okay, actually, let me backtrack. I am going to go to the last question first. Let's go to the women's side. As far as weaknesses go, it is really, really difficult, and you have to nitpick big time to see what happens and how you beat Dodge City. Yes, it is kind of difficult to defeat a team three times. I don't know if I necessarily believe that. I mean, to some degree, yes, especially in this conference because most teams are pretty evenly matched. But to that second point, I think this is a team that you have to turn over a bunch. And they have had a few issues. They're right in the middle of the pack in the region. Nothing spectacular in terms of taking care of the ball. They do get a lot of possessions in a game, and that's part of the reason why their turnover number is a little higher than other teams, notably Independence. But that's one way you can beat them. The other way you have to try to beat them is by trying to get buckets around the rim. And sometimes, just now and then, if Georgia Gray's in foul trouble or not in the game, they do struggle to defend the post from time to time. But again, those are very few and far between. Valentina Ojeda is a really good example of that, who will be tested tonight. Of course, she dropped 40 in a game against Pratt earlier this season. In fact, that was right before they played Dodge City the last time. So she's a very capable player inside. Be interesting to watch that matchup for a third time this evening. But that's probably the only two ways that you can beat this team is scoring around the rim, getting in the paint, and then you've got to, number one, hope they miss some threes, which their three-point shooting, they make nine a game. That's good for top five in the nation. And you've got to turn them over and get some transition buckets because their half-court defense is really, really good.
Scary. It's really scary when you look at what Dodge City could do, not only in this conference tournament, but what they could do in the national tournament. That's certainly on the forefront, and they should be in. I think they've done enough in conference play, regardless of what happens in these next couple of games, to earn themselves an at-large, and if they win, obviously that automatic will bounce them in. We've kind of talked about the men on and off. That matchup with Cloud, very scary. You look at this men's side, it is wide open with the teams that are out there. What is Dodge need to do in these next three games to make sure that they are, in fact, the representative for the Jayhawk in the men's side?
Yeah, that's right. And there's a lot of different things that you can look at when it comes to the men's side. I mean, we talked about before this thing started, I thought Garden City was a legitimate team that could contend at least. Do you think in my... All right, let me just step out and say here, there's an argument to be made now. Probably not anymore because you had the Northwest Tech loss just to crumble at the end. But I think Coffeyville has a slightly stronger resume in terms of the teams that they have beaten in conference play than Dodge City. And their two games in head-to-head against Dodge City, they lost in overtime at Dodge and then blew them out down at Coffeyville. So in my opinion, if there were a team that was gonna make an at-large bid, even though I'm biased, I think Coffeyville probably has a slightly stronger resume than Dodge City.
I think so too, and I think Jay Herkelman, being the Hall of Fame head coach that he is going to get a lot of respect amongst the voters and those who put the at-large bids out there. I think that they would be looked at under less of a microscope than a team like Dodge City, and I think in this instance, either way, if you looked at them closer, I think you would see that Coffeyville, when you really get down and deep with those wins and those losses, probably a little bit more so active than Dodge City would be. And also it helps, like I said, when Jay Herkelman's your head coach and you get that respect, nationally that, hey, if they're on the fringe bubble team, I think you would take a Coffeyville versus Dodge City. And that's no knock to Coach Spoon over there in Dodge City. I just think that's Jay Herkelman, right? That's Coffeyville basketball, what they've done in the past. I mean, they're 2021 national champions. That's still on the front burner, if you will. I think that helps out the Red Ravens and all those aspects for an at-large bid. You're right.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And the pedigree of Coffeyville and what obviously Jay Herkelman's done in his 30-plus year career speaks for itself. I mean, it really does. And you don't see lifers like that in this conference very often or in JUCO basketball at all. It's almost always a stepping stone. So a credit to what he's done. We've kind of talked about his style and stuff, and you can definitely tell, like, everybody respects him. They know who he is. When you walk into that gym, it's an intimidating feeling. It's like, and don't take this the wrong way, but it's like walking in and playing Bill Self in a place like Kansas. There's just a different feeling when you walk in. And I'm not saying in terms of the atmosphere or the crowd or anything like that. Just knowing you're going up against a program and a team that has tons of history and a coach that has just gotten it done for so long. So it's not a perfect comparison, but it's the closest thing that I can get to in trying to replicate what it's like going into a place knowing that, hey, we've got to be really good to win here tonight, no matter how good Coffeyville is this year.
Yeah, when you walk into the barn at Coffeyville, which I like to call it a barn, I just think I love it. And that's not a knock. That is a compliment more so. It's kind of in that, the shed type setup. You feel like you're right on the floor when you set up there. It's a super intimate environment, in my opinion, to take in a college basketball game. And I really enjoyed my time there calling a game. It feels like you're at a 5-point disadvantage. It just kind of feels like one of those established places in the conference that it's tough to play at. Obviously, tonight, that's going to be a factor as Coffeyville does host a game. But moving forward, being on a neutral court in Wichita, I'm not sure how that would shake out in the Final Four. Hey, let's hop over to Garden City Women's Basketball, and let's talk about their incredible run. They're the 11th seed, knocking off Seward 60-59 in overtime on Saturday. The only team on the road that did play on Saturday in the Jayhawk Conference to win. Impressive stuff. Garden City goes with a 6-player rotation and is still able to get the job done in overtime. Good chunk of their players playing 40-plus minutes to get the job done in the final period of overtime. But now you've got a really tough test. You make the trip up to El Dorado. You have to play in the power plant. Mike Helmer and his crew have been fantastic there. In fact, Butler is a winner of the conference in 3 of the last 5 seasons. Garden City, in the last 12 meetings, 2-10 at the power plant. It has not been an easy place to play, not just for Garden City, but for really everybody when you look at the numbers overall. And the last time Garden City was able to win at the power plant, 2016. Now, here is the light for Garden City. I feel like I've kind of pointed at a couple of things that are going to make this really tough. First of all, the first game of the year between these two teams, played back in January, Garden City lost by their largest deficit in conference play. It was an 86-47 loss for the Bronkbusters. Coach Scale's not happy about that. The girls obviously not happy about that. They came ready to play the second meeting just a few weeks ago, just about a week and a half ago, actually, at Conestoga Arena, and handed Butler their first unranked loss of the season. The Grizzlies were 20-0 heading into that matchup against teams that were not ranked in the top 25. Garden City made things difficult. They made a season-high 7 threes, and they were able to beat the Grizzlies by 3, 68-65. It was an incredible game, awesome to see, and we actually heard a really nice story yesterday from Coach Antoine Scales. We have our monthly Monday luncheon, if you will, with the community college, and Coach Scales spoke about how hard the season had been, and he's not used to losing, and he's still trying to kind of figure out where they're at. Well, they pull off his first playoff win in his career at Garden City. Incredible stuff what they did, but he said, after the first loss to Butler, they printed out that kind of game recap article and the headline there, Garden City blown out by Butler, and he posted that on all of girls' lockers and said, hey, we're not going to do this again. This is not going to happen. This isn't us. This is not what's going to happen. And to his credit, his team came out and took out then the top 25 ranked, number 24th, Butler Grizzlies at home, rendered one of the most balanced teams, I would say, outside of Dodge City, ineffective on the offensive end, held them well defensively. But that's the tricky part with Butler. You're 1-1 coming into this matchup. The power plant's going to be loud. It's going to be full. It is officially quarterfinal time. What does Garden City need to do? Well, you need to lean on your leading scorer. Deshauna Carter has to do more than what she did at Seward. She was effective in the second half, all 12 points and beyond. But we need to see a 25-plus point performance from Deshauna Carter. Garden City needs to lock up defensively. Ariah Brooks has been fantastic as she has come in to replace Jamiah Lyons. Obviously, Jamiah, second leading scorer, top rebounder. But Garden City is kind of Frankenstein their way to a lineup that works. And I said only 6 players deep. Partially that's because of injuries, but partially that's because of the trust that Coach Scales has in his unit and in his team at this point of the year. And I think that is kind of what you're looking at if you're Garden City and you're a Garden City fan tonight taking on the Butler Grizzlies at 5:30. That game, you can listen to that live right here on 99.9 The Rock. I'll have that coverage for you starting about 5 p.m., 5:10, somewhere in there. It's going to be a great night. And I like this draw for Garden City. I don't hate it at all. You beat Seward. Let's say you're able to spring an upset tonight. You look ahead, you're on the opposite side from Dodge City. You would have a matchup with Butler or Cloud County. That would be the two teams who, Cloud County, you've played well both times in losses, and Barton as well. Barton, not a team that, you know, had a lead at halftime there at in Great Bend, and I think that it's a favorable matchup for the Bronkbusters when you look at what they want to do. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that we could be talking about, you know, come next week or come this Friday, that this is a team making a true Cinderella run and trying to see if that slipper fits. It is March Madness overall, and or after all, and I can't wait for tonight. I'm really pumped up. I'm really excited. The game was tremendous against Seward. You know, Garden City did what it needed to do to win a playoff game, and I certainly think they have the firepower to do it again tonight. They need a lot of things to go right, but I think the opportunity is on the table, and Garden City fully understands that.
Yeah, and I think when you look at this Garden City team, right, there's probably not anybody else talking about it, talking about this group and Coach Antoine Scales coming into this tournament. I think a lot of folks had written this team off, and you had constantly said in the second half of the season, man, this team has a chance to potentially pull an upset. It took them a while, and they finally did, and happy for them. And I think, you know, all things considered now, this doesn't necessarily take away all of the struggles throughout the rest of the season, but this is the beauty of college basketball. When you make a run in the postseason, which is what this is, then it can wipe away some of the bad things that have taken place during the regular season. Another win here, and you could officially call it a big-time successful tournament run if Garden City is able to run to Wichita after pulling off upsets at both Seward and Butler and get to the semifinals at least and compete in the Final Four of the Region Tournament. I think that'd be a huge accomplishment for the Lady Bronkbusters.
Yeah, they won three of their last five after a really, you know, not a great record in the second half of the season, but they were in almost every game, in fact, led in almost every game, second half and beyond. They've just had problems kind of sticking with teams with that short bench, missing four crucial pieces on their team. Jemiah Lyons, obviously a name we've talked about. Another starter, Jersey Mayfield, she was lost midway through the year. Your first player off the bench, Destiny Smith, she's no longer available for Garden City. And then also when you look at, Araya Brooks, she has missed time. Sydney Scruggs, another valuable guard off the bench, not playing for Garden City. So that, I would venture to guess there aren't too many teams out there in the Jayhawk Conference. If you took away two starters and two of their first two off the bench, would have gotten a win in the first round against Seward. And that's just a testament to what this team and this coaching staff have been able to do. Hey, we're running out of time here. We're going to take a quick, short break, reset ourselves, and then we're going to have your way too early NCAA tournament predictions when we come right back from our final break, just about to 10 o'clock. Your hour of sports talk almost done in Southwest Kansas, but not quite yet. We'll be back here in just a moment with our college basketball March Madness preview.